Cloning and eugenic manipulation had produced a society not of equality, but a stable society of unequal castes, hardwired into their position in society from the dominant alphas to the epsilon drudges in society, breaking apart what earlier thinkers had considered a human nature that united us all into divided, biologically determined, unequal brands of humanity. The violence which the 1930s already brought to bear as a premonition of the greater violence of the Second World War to come, and how few the attempts were to resist that violence as it grew, were most remarkably announced in the Italian fascist invasion of Ethiopia, trying to carve out that imperial state which the fascists saw as a guarantee of their vitality and their movement's dynamism. Italy's invasion of Ethiopia, or as it was then called, Abyssinia, in Africa in 1935, was an important milestone of the decade, contemporaries saw in retrospect, because it showed not only the aggressiveness of the fascists, that had been clear from early on, but also revealed the weakness of collective security, international opinion, and what was called the international community as a whole. Mussolini aimed to carve out for Italy an African empire on the model of the ancient Romans, as well as to redeem the remarkable defeat by the Ethiopians of an Italian army in Ethiopia in 1896. The Italian forces didn't shy away from, indeed they celebrated and reveled in, the most remarkable use, destructive use of modern technology. The Italian army used airplanes and poison gas against the Ethiopian forces, so that even their valiant defense of their homeland was ultimately quelled. Mustard gas was showered down upon Ethiopian forces, at first with shells, and then later pumped down over them by airplane. Ethiopians were hunted like animals by airplane. Their population centers were bombed from the air in a sign of the greater bombardments from the air by aircraft yet to come. The Italians, in spite of declaring their victory by 1936, nonetheless would have to contend with resistance that followed in a heroic and determined way from the years to come. They followed what they quite deliberately called a policy of terror and of tenfold retribution in atrocities for resistance on the part of Ethiopians, who were also rounded up and put into concentration camps, as we'd seen as an earlier phenomenon of imperialist campaigns. But in 1936, the country was annexed to Italy as part of its empire. The Italian king was declared emperor of Ethiopia, and Mussolini's own followers declared him to be not just like a god, but a new god in human form. One of the byproducts of this Italian conquest of Ethiopia, which was to redound as disaster to the fascist regime later, was that Mussolini began to believe such praise himself. But we want to stop for a moment to consider what the international reaction to this clear provocation on the part of one member of the League of Nations against another constituted. The international reaction was weak. The League of Nations certainly condemned the act in the strongest of diplomatic language. But when it came to actually putting teeth to its words, only mustered weak sanctions against Italy and was careful not to include what might have had a strategic effect, an oil embargo against that state, fearing that this was too provocative. This helpless response on the part of the League of Nations to what was clear aggression discredited that institution and led it soon to fade away. In Geneva, speaking to the League of Nations, the Ethiopian emperor had prophetic words to say. Disappointed by the weak reaction, he told the delegates, "First it was us, next it will be you." The German dictator, Adolf Hitler, praised Mussolini's action. And the earlier tense relations between these dictators, competing as they were to announce their own brand of the wave of the future, now began to warm. Italy and Germany became fast friends, leading to the formation of an alliance, the Rome-Berlin Axis of October 1936, a milestone on the way to the Second World War.